Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Wednesday afternoon, a little bit later tonight, we've got the Eastern League All-Star Game. I am so excited to be heading over the diamond to watch some great baseball. I just got finished taking a look at some of the comments from Labor Secretary Alex Acosta, who used to be the U.S. attorney down in the Miami area. And he said, times have changed since 2008 when Jeffrey Epstein got a plea deal. I can't figure out what has changed about exploiting or trafficking girls for sexual purposes, but I want to get some insight on that and why this is now playing out in the Southern District of New York. A man who spent his career with the FBI in that Southern District of New York for the most part, our good friend, retired Supervisory Special Agent Jimmy Galliano. Jimmy, thanks for being here.
Jeff, thanks for having me. We've got a lot to talk about today.
Yes, we have a lot to talk about. I guess let's start with some jurisdictional issues, and I'm hoping you can explain them to all of us. So 11 years ago, this Epstein character gets some sort of a plea deal with the U.S. attorney in Miami. Now the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York says, hey, guess what? We've got a bunch of other charges we're going to bring against you now. How does this all happen?
Sure. So your question is basically asking, you know, is there double jeopardy here? Do Epstein's lawyers have the opportunity to argue that these charges were potentially brought before or ostensibly brought before, and it was settled through it wasn't a plea agreement. It's settled through what's called a non-prosecution agreement, so an NPA. Now, essentially, the Southern District of Florida, which is just like all the other districts, I think there's some 93 or 94 of them across the country, which Alex Acosta, who's now currently in the Trump administration, was the United States attorney at the time, made a decision that, you know, I agree with you. I mean, it goes beyond head scratching to essentially put this forth in writing. In a non-prosecution agreement from the federal government basically means that you cooperate, you talk about the violations or the crimes you might have participated in, you pay some type of fine, you pay restitution to the victims of those said crimes, and then in this instance, they elected to have the state proceed forward with charges. And Jeff, this is the head-scratching part of this. The state charges were reduced to basically solicitation of a prostitute. So you essentially had a man that was involved in human trafficking, sexual trafficking of young girls, some as young as 14, 15 years old, and they elected to have him plead guilty to state charges, not prosecute him on the federal side. The question here is going to be, Jeff, the million-dollar question, which you kind of touched on, does the Southern District of New York have to honor a non-prosecution agreement from the Southern District of Florida? I would argue they do not. I've heard a number of really smart legal minds suggest the same, but I guarantee you, Mr. Epstein, who is a man of not just considerable means, but infinite means. I mean, the guy owns an island in St. Thomas, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I imagine he's got a bevy of lawyers who are going to argue this thing, you know, every day of the week and twice on Sunday to try to force this this double jeopardy hand. That's what I think is going to happen, Jeff.
All right, so I'm trying to figure out then this non-prosecution agreement. He still wound up, if I understand, he did a year of some sort in some sort of correctional facility, though, right?
Correct, but at the state level.
Okay.
So he did not plead guilty to any federal crime.
Okay.
All he did at the federal level was enter into this this, I mean, binding or non-binding. I mean, I've heard arguments on both sides. Non-prosecution agreement, which just said that the feds were going to allow this to be handled at the state side. Now, Jeff, in 25 years in the federal law enforcement, this happened numerous times. There are times in New York State where the drug, their drug statutes at the federal level back in the early aughts, say, you know, when I was working drugs in 2004, 2008, those period of time, they were stronger on the federal side. So oftentimes the state, if we were working in a partnership, the state would push for us to take those cases. And conversely, in New York State, the gun laws, you know, felon in possession of a firearm, were much stronger on the state side. So this happens all the time. I don't think there's anything nefarious or wrong with it. What's just so onerous is, why would you allow a known sexual predator, and let's call this what it is.
Yeah.
This is a sexual predator. Why would you let him off essentially with a slap on the wrist? He was allowed to report in and out of prison for 13 months. He was chauffeured to prison and chauffeured home from prison, essentially pay a small amount of restitution to a handful of these women who were abused. It boggles the mind, Jeff, and I just don't have an answer as to why.
All right, so now I saw a comment from another U.S. attorney, I think a former U.S. attorney, who said, well, she couldn't make heads or tails out of it either, but that Alex Acosta, the current labor secretary, probably should resign. Are you of that same opinion?
Gosh, Jeff, you know, here's the thing. You know, we call for boycotts all the time. We call for people to lose their jobs. However, in this instance, when you're holding a high position of public trust, and I watched a significant portion of the press conference, and it was essentially him, you know, saying, well, you know, I think Mr. Epstein should go to jail now, and I think that he should face more time, but as you pointed out at the top, but times are different. No, they're not. Not when it comes to trafficking young girls. The times are not different in that instance. Now, do I think he should resign? I think a case can be made of it, because, look, you're the leader of the Southern District of Florida. You're the U.S. attorney. And the way he kind of deflected this to his line assistants and spread some blame around, you're ultimately the person that's going to make the call in a high-profile case like this. This wasn't some small case of a pickpocket or a purse snatcher, and you say, I just didn't see that, or I didn't know that was happening. My assistants handled it. This was a high-profile case that he was personally involved in. Jeff, I think it'd be the right thing to do that he step aside.
Okay. All right, so you don't buy this idea that the AUSAs were the ones who handled it, that at some point it had to cross his desk as the U.S. attorney to say, yeah, we're doing this.
Ultimately, anything that happens within a district goes to the U.S. attorney. Now, we all understand what that means. If you work in a district and you've got 60 or 70 or 80 or 150 line assistants, yes, they're going to handle the day-to-day machinations of particular court cases. But a case like this, that is such a high-profile case, there's no way he can distance himself from it and suggest, hey, I just didn't know, or I let my chiefs down below, I let them handle it. Ultimately, that decision would have had to been signed off on a pretty high level, and I would even suggest signed off by him. And I was looking today for, because I'm always the kind of person that's pragmatic, let me hear what he has to say first. I was looking for there to be a good explanation, because I don't always believe that, you know, everything is politically motivated and everything means somebody's doing something nefarious. We can have disagreements and both of us can be acting in good faith. But Jeff, I didn't hear anything today that quelled my concerns, and I don't think too many other people that I've seen talking about it and analyzing it feel any differently either.
Fair enough. Jimmy Galliano is joining us. Jimmy, of course, retired after a distinguished career as a supervisory special agent with the FBI. You see him now all the time on CNN as their lead law enforcement analyst, and we're just very, very fortunate that he makes time for us when he does. So, Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about the attacks, and I think we can describe them as attacks on ICE and some of the other federal law enforcement agencies that are saying, yeah, we're going to go and look through DMV databases across America because we're looking for illegal aliens. Now, I've heard from folks on the left, oh, my God, the illegal aliens, I heard this quote yesterday, they haven't committed any crime. Why? And they didn't know they were signing up for this when they were getting driver's licenses, which many parts of that made my hair hurt. But are the folks from ICE on solid ground and saying, hey, this is a legitimate resource for us to look at?
Well, first of all, let's establish what our rights, right? We all accept that the First Amendment allows us to say what we want, right, within reason. Mm-hmm. And the Second Amendment allows us to keep and bear arms. And the Fourth Amendment protects us against unreasonable searches and seizures. Jeff, those are rights. A driver's license is not a right. It is a privilege. So when somebody enters into an agreement to be allowed the ability to operate a motor vehicle, you are getting that. That is a benefit and a privilege. And in return for getting that, you have to do certain things. You have to pass a driving test, and you have to take a written test on what the laws are. You have to have your photograph taken. You have to, you know, give biographical data about yourself, where you live and how tall you are and all those things. Of course, law enforcement should have an opportunity to mine those databases. And for the folks that are suggesting that they shouldn't, I mean, they're part of that cuckoo clan of abolish ICE and all that insanity. For the folks that suggest that law enforcement should not be able to use emergent technologies. Now, what am I talking about there? Facial recognition. So we now have the ability to take a human face, the image of a human face, and I believe, and don't quote me on this, I think there's around 80 different nodal points on somebody's face. Wow. Jeff, the distance between your two eyes is different than the distance between my two eyes. Right. The width of your nose is different. Your jawline is different. How deeply set your eyes, all those kind of things. Now, this is not perfect technology. It's not a panacea, an end-all, cure-all. And as some African-American groups have pointed out, and this is a fair gripe, it's not as effective. The actual technology itself has been proved to make mistakes, meaning mm-hmm. it lines somebody up and says, yep, that's the person. It matched 66 of the 80 nodal points, and you only need 20 for a match, so that's the person, and it's inaccurate. So look, we're not suggesting that to use that, if there's a match, that means you get the death penalty. What it is one more tool in law enforcement's toolbox. So if somebody has a driver's license, and they're able to match it up with a still picture from a video screen capture of a bank robbery, and they're able to line that up with somebody in the database, that gives you a starting point. Mm-hmm. It's not a conviction. We're not going to hang you by your toenails. You're not going to be tarred and feathered. It's just one more step in the process, and I think if there is a ruling going forward to disallow that, it just goes to show that the country is quickly moving toward decriminalizing A, people that illegally cross the border and enter into our sovereign country, and B, want to make it more difficult for law enforcement to do their job, Jeff.
Is it possible that this is simply a modern-day Bertillon system that was all the rage for a while?
You know, you're speaking such that, you know, that smart language, you're making my eyebrows hurt. Look, you can look at this thing from so many different perspectives. And again, you know me, I'm always careful to say, you know, smart, decent people can disagree on this, and right. It doesn't mean that they're bad people for it.
Right.
I just think that we are making a huge mistake if we pull this out of the law enforcement arsenal. I think it is a tool, just like DNA collection in comparisons are,
yep.
just like blood typing is, just like latent fingerprint comparative analytics are. It's just one tool, and to remove it, I think it's just part of the political hysteria that's whipped up right now in advance of the 2020 election.
Wow. As usual, you're spot on, Jimmy, and I appreciate you being here, man. I always appreciate you being here.
I didn't think you were going to ask me back as we headed into the All-Star break, and the mighty Atlanta Braves are 5 games in front of right now the Boston Red Sox. I know that I understand they're in different divisions, but you know I always keep a keen eye on how your Sox are doing, and I'll have you know, my Braves that people pick to finish third, fourth, or last in the NL East are leading the NL East right now, Jeff, and I know it may not last forever, but I'm going to revel in it and enjoy it while it lasts.
Not only should you revel in it, I'm going to say something here. I don't know how to. I think this might be your year. I really do. I really, really do.
Well, from your lips, my friend, to God's ears. All right.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You got it, Jeff. Take care.
All right. That is Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent with the FBI. You see him all the time now. He's CNN's lead law enforcement analyst, and I think some great stuff here on the idea of ICE looking through some DMV databases, looking for those illegal aliens, and more developments on this entire Alex Acosta matter and Jeffrey Epstein, who's now facing charges in the Southern District of New York. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.